It's the morning show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. The story in the New York Times is heartbreaking. A 6-year-old boy in Wisconsin helping mom and dad on the farm gets his leg tangled up in a 4,600-pound farm machine, a skid steer, which rips his leg apart, puts him in the hospital, and sends him home in a wheelchair with a prognosis for recovery that could take years. The heartbreak to the family is compounded by the knowledge that the farm's very survival depends on everyone in the family, from youngest to oldest, pitching in and helping out. Our guest today is Marcia Saltzwedel. She's a youth agricultural safety specialist with the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety, which is part of the National Farm Medicine Center at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. We'd also like you to weigh in. Are you a farmer? Do you have kids who help with feeding animals or harvesting crops? What limits do you set to keep them safe? Or maybe you were involved in a farm accident. What toll did that take on your family? We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That number again is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can comment on our website, ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at WPR Mornings. In America, every 3 days, a child dies in a farm accident. Every day, 33 are injured. Marcia Saltzwedel, how serious of a problem is this?
Well, as you just mentioned, it's serious. We know that there are about or almost a million youth that actually live on farms, and of that million youth, half of them work on the farms, with another 250,000 non-resident youth that also work on farms. So we're talking about a large number of our young population that are actually on the farm and are exposed to this environment. Now, keep in mind that farms are a wonderful, wonderful place for kids to live and to grow up, and for parents, it's a great environment for them to be raised on. But there's just a few precautions that need to be taken in order to keep them safe so that these youth can reap those benefits of living on those farms.
Well, what are some of those precautions?
So one of the biggest precautions that we talk about is with young children, and we define young children as children 6 and under, is keeping them out of that farm work site when parents are working. And the reason for this is kind of twofold. One of them is it's a very hazardous workplace. It's the most dangerous workplace in the country. And it's the only work site in the country also where young children can go. And so keeping those children, those young children, 6 and under, out of that work site helps to protect the children. In addition, though, it also helps to protect the adults, because when you have a young child in that work site, not only does it endanger the child, but it also acts as a distraction for the parent so that they're watching sometimes that child instead of watching what's happening around them in this very dangerous work site.
Well, that recent story in the New York Times recounts a gruesome farm accident that happened right here in Wisconsin to a 6-year-old. He slipped while climbing on a skid steer, and the hydraulic bucket ripped apart his leg. Is this an extreme example of a farm accident?
Unfortunately, I would say it's not an extreme example. We see these types of incidences fairly frequently. Here at the Children's Center, we have a subscription to news clipping services, and people share news clippings with us when these things happen. And so we do see this fairly frequently, both these types of incidents and actually incidents that result in the deaths of the children as well.
Well, it's not an isolated incident. Here are a few more. A 3-year-old in Loyal, Wisconsin, was crushed last May by a loader being driven by his 5-year-old brother. A 6-year-old in Michigan was run over and killed last July when he fell from the bucket at the front of a skid steer. And a 10-year-old boy in Kansas was run over by a tractor driven by his 9-year-old sister. He was clearing brush at the time. So, you know, as you said, this is something that happens not infrequently.
Right. And keeping in mind that, again, as I mentioned, we've got a million youth that are living on farms, so there's a good potential for exposure for these kids in these dangerous work sites. And let me reiterate that we do want children to be on farms. We do want them to work on farms. We do recognize that there are a lot of benefits to living and working on farm. It instills a passion, a love, a respect for the land. It teaches kids a lot about responsibility. It gives them a good work ethic. Some of the research we've done actually shows that these children have better health. They have less incidence of asthma, less incidence of allergies. So farms are a great place for children, but again, as you've just mentioned with all of these incidents you've just recounted, it's also a dangerous place, so we need to safeguard those kids while they're there.
Well, all of those advantages can be wiped out with a single accident. I'm sure you've seen a lot at the Marshfield Clinic. How does a tragic accident involving young kids on the farm affect the child? You can imagine the trauma being so serious that they'd be terrified of even being near the farm machinery that their parents and older siblings use every day.
Oh, absolutely. And not only does it instill a fear in the child, but the children actually oftentimes are left with life-changing injuries. They don't have, sometimes they lose a limb, assuming they don't lose their life. Sometimes they lose a limb, which definitely changes their lifestyle. Sometimes they lose what we call capacity in the limb, so they may still have the leg or still have the arm, but it's not anywhere near as strong. And the psychological changes, as you mentioned, it instills a little bit of a fear in these children for being around these incidents. And it does affect the whole family as well. We've seen times where it's affected the marriage, and the marriage has ended up in divorce because the parents will blame each other, that accusing one of not watching the child or something. And we've also seen instances where the medical bills have gotten to the point that the family actually loses the farm.
Well, it does affect the survival of the farm, according to that New York Times article. In the case that we were talking about, the farm's biweekly milk production fell from 3,600 pounds to 1,900 pounds. They had to sell three of their cows because, these farmers, often it's a day-to-day operation, and they depend on everyone in the family, even some of the youngest members of the family, helping out just in order to survive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, we want the kids to be working on the farm, but at this point, when you have children of different ages working on the farm, it's important that you assign the chores to the kids based on what their abilities are. A lot of times when we see these horrific accidents, these injuries, these fatalities, it's because the children are doing work that's a little bit beyond their capabilities. They don't have the ability, either mentally or physically, to be able to perform the job. So if you assign the tasks based on the children's abilities, then the children are a lot less likely to get injured or killed on the farm.
And the farm culture often pitches in when a tragedy takes place. The New York Times article says in this particular case, one of the boys' teachers helped milk and feed the cows, and relatives pitched in. What does the culture of farming look like when it comes to kids and the land?
So the culture of farming is a very unique culture. Farmers, and speaking as a farm kid myself, and growing up on a farm, we still have our farm. The farm culture can be a wonderful culture to be in. Everybody helps out. Everybody pitches in the family. The neighbors will come in and help when there's incidents like this. A lot of times the whole community will come in and they will pitch in as well and help. On the flip side of that, the farming culture tends to foster very independent thinking people. So I remember my father saying, for instance, that nobody's going to come onto his land and tell him what to do. And I don't believe that's an uncommon statement coming from farmers, especially a lot of our older farmers. And that can actually make it a little bit of a challenge when you're trying to work with the farmers to instill some safety pieces on the farm, because they do tend to be very independent thinking.
And if you just joined us, we're talking to Marcia Saltzwedel. She's a youth agricultural safety specialist with the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety. It's part of the National Farm Medicine Center at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. And we are talking, of course, today about farm safety, and particularly farm safety involving very young children on the farm. What lessons can kids learn from growing up on a farm? There must be, many, many positive things that they can pick up just by working on a day-to-day basis. It's not all negative.
Oh, absolutely. It's not negative. Farms do teach kids a lot. It teaches them a good work ethic. It teaches them responsibility. It teaches them about the life and death cycle. It helps to build character in the youth. You know, it gives them lifelong friendships that they'll oftentimes with other farm kids. And importantly, it instills a passion, a love, a respect for the land. And so they become good stewards of that land. And then there are other benefits as well. Some of them are a little bit softer, but, for instance, there's a lot of room for the kids to play. And oftentimes, when you talk to farm kids, they will talk about, we have better pets than the city kids do.
Marcia Saltzwedel of the National Farm Medicine Center at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. We will be back with much more and your questions after this news. Today on The Morning Show, we're talking about farm safety and young children with Marcia Saltzwedel. She's a youth agricultural safety specialist with the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety, part of the National Farm Medicine Center at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent, and we do want to hear from you today. Are you a farmer? Do you have kids who help with feeding animals or harvesting crops? How do you react when people say you've got to keep those kids away from the heavy farm machinery? And perhaps you think that there are restrictions that should be put on farmers and their families in order to keep very young children safe. We'd love to hear from you. The lines are wide open right now. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can put a comment on our webpage. That's ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Marcia, we were talking about the positive things that children can glean from growing up on a farm. Maybe we're talking about you. You grew up on a farm.
Yes, I did, and I loved it. It was just a wonderful place to grow up. And our family was very close, I think, because of living on the farm. We lived in the middle of a bunch of other farms, and so there was a lot of kids on the other farms. So we even had our own softball teams when we wanted to play and our own kickball teams, and it was just fantastic. You know, we worked hard, without a doubt. And, I mean, we planted, I can remember picking potatoes by hand. I can remember baling hay, all kinds of hard work that we did, but we also had a lot of fun. So it was a great environment to grow up in.
Did your parents ever have you work heavy machinery, like skid steers or tractors, when you were, say, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 years old?
No, we didn't do it that young. And part of the reason might have been because there were adults on the farm to take care of that. It's a third-generation farm. I was the third generation on the farm. And so my grandpa was there, and my dad was there, and we had uncles and aunts there as well. So there was definitely older people that were available to operate that heavy machinery. Also, the prevalence of skid steers, ATVs, those types of equipment were back when I was a child. They weren't around like they are now.
And what was it like trying to make ends meet on the farm? Was your farm particularly prosperous, or was it kind of like a day-to-day operation like so many agricultural operations are today?
Oh, it was definitely a day-to-day operation. And my dad actually worked out, as many farmers do. He worked out in a different job to kind of help support the family. And then the farm was something that we did to kind of, if you want to say, help support the family. There was 7 kids in our family. And so we had 15 acres of vegetables plus 10 acres of potatoes, and we would plant them. The vegetables were planted by hand, the potatoes were not, but we would weed and we would harvest by hand. All of that was done by hand. And we also had beef cattle and we baled hay, as I mentioned. So there was a lot of work, and it wasn't that we could afford to hire help because we couldn't. So it had to be done by the family.
So did both of your parents work extra jobs, one of them?
No, they both worked.
They both worked. So this is kind of typical for farming today. The farm itself often isn't enough in and of itself to allow a family to survive. They've got to work extra jobs on top of it.
Mm-hmm. And the challenges that that presents is that then a lot of the farm work needs to be done after hours, after they get home. So sometimes you're working late in the evening. Sometimes it's dark outside, you know, and that all kind of creates some additional challenges because it's harder to see and there's not as much time. And so sometimes the stress level can get quite a bit higher in those situations as well.
Well, additional challenges, and you're dead tired, and you've got the kids out there. It sounds like those things, the kind of working conditions farmers have to do with extra jobs on top of all the farm work, contribute to safety problems.
Oh, absolutely, it does. And the stress actually is a big factor with a lot of the farms nowadays, especially for those farmers who have a separate job and they're trying to get things done with a limited amount of time. And as they, a lot of times when you talk to farmers who have been injured, you will hear them say that, oh, I was just in a hurry. I was trying to get it done. And that oftentimes contributes to those injuries. And it also contributes because, again, as we mentioned previously, when that time is limited, then it's kind of all hands on deck. Everybody pitches in and everybody helps.
1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to join the conversation. 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Jacob in New Glarus. Jacob, you're on the morning show.
Good morning. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Let's ring a bell.
I don't have a question. I'm just kind of, I got a couple backstories. Down in northern Illinois where I live, I'm actually an EMT firefighter, and I've seen firsthand injuries and deaths from farming accidents. And it's nothing out of the ordinary, out of the blue that these kids were doing. One was going out with their grandpa just to take trash out to the ravine that everybody, you know, has the trash pile. And the girl got her leg caught in the PTL shaft. She's luckily recovered from it. She's got a couple kids now, married, you know, doing really good. Unfortunately, the second one is there's these four kids on a Polaris Ranger, and they're just out checking fences, you know, this minute test that mom and dad gave them, just kind of probably get them out of their hair. And they hit something in the field that flipped the Ranger. And the little boy, the little 9-year-old boy, he got crushed by the Polaris Ranger. And I was unfortunately there for that call. And, that didn't just affect the family, but, personally, my mom went to school with the farmer's wife, and a couple people on the ambulance, their kid went to school with their boy. So, it was just ironic how such a minute task of checking fences, or, you know, like the little boy is just climbing on top of the skid loader with the injury.
Well, that's a heartbreaking story, Jacob, and I imagine it's something that you see an awful lot working as an EMT in a rural part of the country.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple of incidents I prefer to forget, but that's just one thing that will always stick in my mind.
Marcia Saltzwedel?
Yes. So, unfortunately, as you mentioned, these stories like Jacob just shared are not that unusual. And as he also mentioned, they tend to send ripples not just through the family, but it actually affects the entire community. And in a lot of instances, these particular types of injuries and accidents are preventable if we just need to learn and to teach farmers how to safeguard those children.
Jacob, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go to Robert now from Asheville, North Carolina. Robert, you're listening to us online, obviously. Robert, Asheville, North Carolina, you're on the morning show.
How are you? Nice to be on.
I'm doing well. Your question or your comment, please.
Well, I grew up in a situation where starting at age 7, I worked on a farm, I'm in my 60s now, so this goes way back. The family was totally devoted to working on the farm. It was in Wisconsin, a 60-head dairy farm, milking 7 days a week, twice a day, morning and night, and, you know, production field work to raise all the crops. And I drove tractors and... Hello?
Yes, we have you on the air, Robert.
Yes, are you there?
Yes, we are. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Uh-huh.
Well, go on, please, with your story.
Okay, I'm sorry. I drove tractors as a kid and combines and hay balers and I was around equipment with power takeoff equipment, running the machinery behind the tractors and conveyors and even the manure equipment to remove manure from the barn was a conveyor system set into the floor. And, of course, I think that there are a lot of exposure to a lot of different kinds of equipment.
How old were you when you were doing this?
I started at 7. And, you know, if you were big enough to reach the clutch and the brake on a tractor, and you could demonstrate a capacity to keep focused and, you know, do this without damaging equipment, you did this. And
did you know any farm families or farm kids who had tragic accidents with children at a young age?
I didn't so much. I think it's such a culture, such a lifestyle that everybody was, kids didn't screw around. I mean, we knew that you had to be careful and responsible, and you learned that, like I say, at an early age. And I will say, when you would go to the local cafe on a Saturday morning and all the farmers would be sitting around a table, everybody was missing a finger somewhere. That was kind of a sign that they were farmers.
Well, let me ask you a question. Looking back at your childhood, do you regret it? Do you think that there need to be limits of some kind put on how young a child can be working around heavy machinery? Or do you think it's just a necessary part of farm life?
Well, I think the dynamics have changed so much. I'm sure the economics of farming have changed in a way. I think also based on maybe size. I mean, I think I've heard that the family farm, 300 acres and 60 head of cows is probably perhaps less the norm now. Now it's more of a corporate or larger situation with more with employees, per se. I think also probably the equipment has become a lot safer than what it was like when I was a kid. I mean, I'd be standing there next to a wagon that would be unloading into a conveyor, going into a silo with silage, and you'd have these whirring bars of tines and stuff that would be pulling the silage as a conveyor moved it into the tines. And, you know, I mean, you were just right there. There was no nothing to keep you from getting a sleeve caught in something, or certainly if you had long hair or anything. I mean, it was you were very much exposed to all of this mechanical.
So it sounds to me like you're saying that this is just a part of farm life. It's just something that we have to deal with, and kids are going to be injured, but that's just the way it is.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm saying that I think technology has probably improved it in a way that kids are not as exposed. Now, back to maybe what you're saying is, the kids, should we allow kids to start driving tractors at 7 years old? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, how many are doing it and how many are injured? I'm not saying one injury is worth that. But it's still a hard thing to choose relative to the fact that if this is within a family unit and these people are working together closely and so forth, you try and legislate and get into that.
Right.
You know,
Robert from Asheville in North Carolina. Robert, thank you so much for the phone call. He worked on a Wisconsin dairy farm when he was little and started driving tractors and balers and combines at the age of 7. Marcia Saltzwedel, this is not an uncommon story.
No, no. Unfortunately, it's not an uncommon story. And I do have a couple of comments on this. One of the comments that he made is that with the technology improvements, that equipment is potentially safer nowadays. And I think that in general, that may be true if the farmers, when they work on their equipment, replace those protective shields, they put those guards back in place. A lot of times, unfortunately, when farmers are working on equipment, or if an auger gets clogged in the bottom of a grain bin, or in a number of different situations when they're trying to work on equipment, they get it fixed, and they don't always put those PTO shields back on. They don't always put the guards back on, the floor augers, all of those types of things. And so while there is a lot of protective equipment with the improved technology nowadays, it only works if it's used. You know, the ROPS on the tractors, which is a rollover protective structure, is another a good example of that. The ROPS work very well, but some of your tractors, especially your orchard tractors and your smaller tractors, the ROPS are foldable. So the ROPS will only work if they're actually put up and used the way that they're intended to be used. So I agree that technology is a help nowadays, but it's only a help if we use the equipment and the shields and the guards and the rollover protective structures that are provided and we leave them in place.
Well, I guess the question is, how should people, individual people, parents working on a farm, how should they begin to navigate what's appropriate for what age with their kids?
Well, our recommendation is that we have some agricultural youth work guidelines that are available, and they're available on our website, cultivatesafety.org. And these work guidelines are set up. They've been tested over time. They were first introduced in the late 1990s, and we are in the process now of updating all of them because, as mentioned, technology changes and the work youth are doing changes. But these guidelines have all been recently updated and are in the process of being updated, and they're based on the child's ability to do the job. So as mentioned, children oftentimes will start working at 7 years old and beyond that. And so what you can do is you can use these work guidelines. You can find the job, driving a tractor, hand weeding, working with large animals. But you can select the guideline that works, that the it represents the work that you want to assign the child, and then it takes you through what does the youth have to be able to do in order to do this job safely, what abilities does that child or that youth need. It also talks a little bit about what the hazards are and how you can protect that child from these hazards, as well as how much supervision this youth will probably need for these particular jobs.
All right, very good. And Marcia, what's that website again?
It's cultivatesafety.org.
Today on The Morning Show, we're talking about farm safety and young kids with Marcia Saltzwedel, a youth agricultural safety specialist with the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety, part of the National Farm Medicine Center at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent, and we will be back with much more and your phone calls after this news. It is The Morning Show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about farm safety and young kids with Marcia Saltzwedel. She's a youth agricultural safety specialist with the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety, which is part of the National Farm Medicine Center at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. Are you a farmer? Do you have kids who help with feeding animals or harvesting crops? What limits do you set to keep them safe? Were you ever involved in a farm accident? And if you grew up in a farm, how do you value the time that you spent working in the field or helping with the chores? We do want to hear from you in the last few minutes of this show. 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can put a comment on our webpage, ideas@WPR.org. Or you can tweet us at WPR-mornings. Marcia Saltzwedel, the Obama administration tried to tighten child labor laws to keep farm kids away from manure pits and block them from driving tractors and heavy equipment. Farm groups and rural lawmakers called it a big government intrusion that would keep kids from doing their chores, and the administration quickly dropped the proposal. Do you think we'll ever see federal regulations addressing some of these issues?
You know, that's a tough question, and I don't really have an answer for that. One of the, I think, misunderstandings with the previous proposal was that a lot of the negativity that accompanied it and a lot of the reaction to it was our kids won't be able to do their chores. And in actuality, the family farms were exempt. So the kids would have still been able to do their chores. These were only, the child labor regulations only apply to youth that are hired to work on somebody else's farm. So for the actual family farms, those regulations that they had proposed would not have actually taken place or wouldn't have applied to those family farm youth. Now, interestingly enough, it's been decades since these child labor regulations have been updated. And so it would have probably, it is probably time for them to be updated, but I do not really anticipate seeing that happen anytime in the near future.
Well, you have a mindset in rural areas, and in fact, much across America, where people simply resent the federal government. They want to live their own lives. They don't want the big government intruding on them and their family and their values. And that's something that's really hard to fight.
Yeah, it is. And going back again to the comment that my father made when I was growing up, that nobody's coming onto his farm and telling him what to do. That's a pretty common piece of the farm culture. And so you're right. It is something that people, the farmers especially, they do not want the government intruding on their lives. So, and I just want to also mention at this point that our Children's Center is not the government, and we are not, you know, trying to instill laws or anything along those lines. We are making voluntary guidelines to safeguard children on the farms. Our only interest is keeping these children safe.
You are part of the Marshfield Clinic.
Yes.
Let's go to Cynthia, in Menominee. Cynthia, you're on the morning show.
Good morning, and I've had my name pronounced that way before. I just wanted to say that I grew up on a dairy farm. We did work on equipment, but not until we were big enough. I don't remember my brothers being on the farm equipment until they're about 11 or 12. We had very strict safety rules. It does not have to be part of a family farm. Once they got old enough and farm safety classes were being offered, then they took those classes. It doesn't need to be part of the farm. My sister started driving in the fields when they were probably close to legal driving age.
And how did your family get by with those practices in place?
My father worked around the clock, but they felt it was just too much risk. We weren't old enough to be handling the heavy equipment.
Cynthia, thanks so much for the phone call. Marcia Saltzwedel?
So Cynthia made some really good points. It's not necessarily that the child can reach the pedals. It's not necessarily that the child just has the strength to turn the steering wheel, but the child also has to have the mental capabilities. They have to have the reaction time. They have to have the field of vision to be able to see what's around them. Unfortunately, with a lot of the equipment nowadays, skid steers are a good example. Your field of vision is already limited, and for young children, their field of vision hasn't fully developed yet. So for driving tractors and driving skid steers and that type of equipment, it's not just a matter of can I reach the pedals. It's a matter of do I have the developmental abilities, the mental capabilities to do this as well. And so kudos to Cynthia's parents for actually assessing that and assigning jobs and waiting until their kids are old enough to actually be able to do those jobs.
Let's go to Pat in Watertown. Pat, you're on the morning show.
Grew up on a dairy farm, have kids, and expect them to hopefully grow up on the dairy farm as well. We grew up doing, you know, just about everything, perhaps at an age earlier than we should have, but those are the fondest memories I have of my childhood, growing up, working with the equipment, working with mom and dad, and being part of the family. To the family farm, or most, well, 90% of farms are still family farms, regardless of size. It's just being part of the family, and being part of the family business.
And Pat, how do you react to Marcia Saltzwedel and others who say that you can be part of the family, but there's still age-appropriate jobs, and you shouldn't be doing certain things at certain ages?
And I agree with her that there are age-appropriate jobs and certain things that small kids shouldn't be doing. The question is, you know, especially with farmers being so, well, exceedingly independent, let's put it that way, trying to push regulations on them, I doubt will help matters. If they say a regulation is, oh, well, your child can't drive a tractor over 50 horsepower until they are 16 years old, I have serious doubts that those regulations would be followed. I myself was operating the tractors probably 6-7 years old, and mom and dad made us go to tractor safety courses, and I recall more than one occasion telling my mom or my dad, you're not supposed to do this, they said so. So,
Pat, you're saying it's just part of farm life, and things like this are necessary with kids growing up on a farm.
Well, it's necessary, but it's just part of the culture, as they say. There are age-appropriate things. A 10-year-old kid should not be operating a forage chopper. Yeah, there's way too many things to go wrong. Skid steers have a lot of, you know, as she was saying earlier, visibility issues. There's things that each family or each adult or parent should, you know, have some common sense to say, okay, little Becky shouldn't be running the chopper today. She's got to wait for a few years for that.
All right, Pat, thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate it. Marcia, what we just heard from Pat is that he's opposed to government intrusions and regulations, but at the same time, he says there are age-appropriate things for children.
Absolutely, and let me emphasize that the guidelines that are available for helping parents assign age-appropriate work at cultivatesafety.org are not regulations. They are recommendations. They are recommended guidelines, and they're designed to help safeguard your working children on the farms, to help a parent choose what job to assign to that youth. And if that child is too young, as Pat mentioned, you know, it's 6, 7, 8 is too young to be operating a lot of equipment, there are alternatives to working with that child and fostering their interest in the farm and spending that quality time with mom and dad. You can take these children out into the garden. That's a great place to teach kids about the production of food, but it's a safer environment. It doesn't have the stress, the risk, the hustle and bustle of the busy work site that a regular farm does. So, again, you know, these guidelines will help parents to assign age-appropriate work.
And one caller who couldn't stay with us said that he was run over by a farm tractor when he was 6 years old by his 8-year-old brother with other kids playing too. He says tractors today are much bigger. He says children are not prepared to use machinery at young ages. Marcia, do you often get resistance? You seem a little bit defensive when you keep telling us that these are guidelines, they're not regulations. Is that born from experience you've had talking to farmers who simply don't want to be regulated?
Absolutely. We have experienced a lot of resistance. We do have an actual campaign out there called Keep Kids Off of Tractors, which actually promotes not having young children on tractors because parents, grandparents oftentimes will give kids a ride on a tractor as a treat. And we find what happens is that a lot of our young children who are being injured and killed on farms is because of these extra riders on tractors. Those extra seats that are on those tractors, those quote-unquote buddy seats, are actually instructor seats and intended to be used for full-size adults or for teens that you are teaching how to drive a tractor. They're not really intended for young children. And so that particular campaign especially has received a lot of resistance, but we do get a lot of resistance from parents and a lot of resistance from farmers. And so what we're trying to do is get the message across that, you know, we're making recommendations and our main goal is we want to safeguard these kids on the farms. We want the children on farms. We agree they're a great place for kids to grow and to live and to be raised, and it teaches them a lot of good things. There's a lot of benefits, but at the same time, we need to keep them safe while they're there.
Marcia, thank you so much for being with us. That was Marcia Saltzwedel, a youth agricultural safety specialist with the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety, part of the National Farm Medicine Center at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. This hour was produced by Keely Bettina. And Michelle Johnson was the executive producer. Coming up tomorrow at this time, we look at the controversy surrounding Indian mascots as baseball's Cleveland Indians retire their longtime mascot, Chief Wahoo. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.